Welcome back, all my drama-free advocates, to another episode of The Carvery with Alex Storr. This is the podcast where we believe that all that you desire, success, happiness, innovation, clarity, creativity, teamwork, all those things are your natural state once the drama's gone. And so as we use the tools we talk about on this podcast to help carve away the drama in your life, it just reveals that natural state and puts you right in the spot that you guys are looking for to be your best self. And so we're going to work on that again today, carve out a bit more drama by talking about one of the most confused topics out there and one of the most kind of enabling topics out there. One of the topics that if you can really get skilled up in redirecting this energy, you can free up a lot of amazing time and happiness in your life. And that topic is venting. Venting in the workplace, venting to others, people that vent to you. This whole idea of venting has gotten a bit out of hand. And with our research, I think it really helps clarify, is venting good? Is it okay? Should we have time to vent? Does everyone need time to vent? So I think this podcast will give you some freedom in that, because I was in, it was either Miami or Dallas, my last two gigs, and I can't remember which session it was in, but people really understood that venting really is not that helpful, that venting just begets more venting. And the way in which we explain it really resonated with this particular group. But there was one lady that was even more intrigued. She's like, I really want to focus on this because I think venting is a big issue on my team. But how can I shut down the venting but make sure that I do it nicely? Like, how can I help people become aware that venting is not helpful, but do it in a nice way? And then after I explained how to do it kind of in a nicer way, she was like, will this be enough to make sure they don't accuse me of taking the side of the other person or taking the side of the people involved in what they're upset about? And so that's what I wanted to bring into this podcast today, is how do you nicely kind of shut down venting? How in a really professional way, in a really caring way, can you kind of carve away all the venting going on? And more specifically, as you do this, how can you make sure that you are not taking the side of the person that someone is complaining about, and you do it in a way that is helpful, but also conserves the time and energy that goes into venting and get people back onto things that add impact, things that will cultivate more happiness and more collaboration in the workplace. So long way around all of that to say that we're going to dive into venting and clarify again why we have found in our research that venting is not helpful, and this supports a lot of the other research. And then, of course, I'm going to give you guys my top three practical in-the-moment techniques to redirect the energy that comes at you from people venting and get it back on track to, one, free up a bunch of time for you to not be the one that drama always seems to fall into your lap, so you can get skilled up to be able to redirect that, and it gives the other person a place where they can have impact, get back on track, conserve all that energy, and start adding value, which is what they actually want. People want to relieve their suffering. They want to get back to having impact. But right now, many people believe that venting is the way to find that kind of peace, and it's really not. And so let's dive right into it. I mean, what are we waiting for? First of all, in my notes here, I want to start with venting. It's still a source of confusion out there at whether venting is helpful or unhelpful. Even to the point where we hear that companies are giving people corners to vent, or putting out this message that everyone needs time to vent. And you might even have heard or believe that everyone needs time to vent. And the first piece I want to start with and help you guys understand is that venting is not helpful. Because first of all, let's just look at a typical venting session, which starts with the classic sentence, hey, do you got a minute? Or hey, can I come in? Do you got a second? And the first thing we found when it comes to venting is that when people come up to you and say, hey, do you got a minute? In our research, we found something quite interesting. We found that they're liars, because they don't actually need just a minute. Oftentimes, they need 30 to 45 minutes. And when we really looked at these moments of when a leader or when someone listens to someone say, hey, do you got a minute, and listens for what they say, it turns into venting. And what we find in those sessions is in about 45 minutes, the typical topic is people not present, hearsay, speculation, things that never happened, things that probably will never happen. And the typical conclusion after they share about all of this is, please don't do anything. I just wanted you to know. Now, we really love the data here in our company. And when we look at that, if you were a leader and you were going to line up 45-minute intervals, meet with 10 people a day, and I'm just going to listen to people vent and talk about those things and leave them with the mindset that they're the victims and everyone else is the villains, and we're going to have zero ROI or action plan, that is not going to be a very good case to give to your organization. It is just a colossal waste of time. And so the first thing we found with venting is that this whole keeping an open door to let people come in and vent, and they say, hey, do you got a minute? And it takes 45 minutes is actually not a very good use of resources. And so with that thing that we noticed, we also have heard out there that many conventional leadership wisdoms are giving leaders this responsibility to be there for their people and to allow them to share all of their situations in this way and to give a space where everyone needs time to vent. And it is seriously not helpful. And I want to explain why. And for those of you that are hearing this and you're already feeling in your minds or your gut that you're like, dang, Alex, but doesn't everyone need time to vent? You need at least a little time to get it off your chest. And when we're working with organizations and groups, or if I'm talking to someone about venting, is I always want to interrupt their thinking by saying that venting does feel good, and so does crack cocaine, at least I've heard, but it's not a sustainable lifestyle, and we definitely don't want it at work. Because see, what happens when you vent is that it carves a neural pathway that's fed by negativity. And in order to keep that neural pathway from itching so much, you have to feed it with more negativity. And it leads to more venting. It's got to get that dopamine shot and that hit to keep it fed. And so venting leads to more venting. And that's why you feel that when someone comes to you to vent and you entertain it, then it's like the next few days or the next week, they become your source to give off all of this information and this landing space for drama. Now, you might be saying in that, nice joke there, but doesn't everyone need to share their feelings? And we absolutely believe in sharing feelings. That is something that as humans, we need to share our feelings. But sharing a feeling, most people don't realize, is actually one sentence. Let me share a feeling with you. I am upset that Alex doesn't give me the information I need. Ooh, I know you guys were waiting for it. You wanted to hear, and what else? And what else does he do? And why else are you upset? But if I'm sharing a feeling, it's one sentence. I'm upset that Alex hasn't given me the information I need. End of feeling. Anything after that is actually the venting. It is, he does this crap on purpose, and he doesn't do that because he's trying to set me up and sabotage my career, and he's the most lazy person ever, and if I did my job like him, I'd be fired. And that is where, if we looked at that information after the sharing of the feeling, all of that we can't know to be true. I made it up. It can't always be the case. And so it is actually the story and not reality. It is all made up. And so this is very interesting because, yes, you do need to be able to share feelings. But again, those feelings are usually one sentence and they are short. And everything else after that is what people want to get into. But this is the venting, and this is what we're going to chip away at today. And to dive deeper into why venting is not helpful, it helps to understand the brain science and what is actually going on in our heads when we are venting, so you can recognize it when someone else is venting and we can start chipping away at this. So let's look at what causes us to vent. The answer, our ego. Now, if you just took a moment to close your eyes, and I encourage you to do this if you get a moment, is just sit for like 2 minutes in silence and close your eyes and just notice. And as you sit there, after the 2 minutes, you'll notice that pretty quickly, even if you're focused on your breath, you will start to notice your mind wandering. It'll be thinking about things in the future. It'll be looking at your to-do list. It'll be thinking about what you can do next. It is all of these things going on, and you're just sitting there in silence, and you're like, what the heck? What is all of that going on. And most people don't realize that there is this narrator in their head that is constantly talking. It is assigning motive. It is judging other things. It has us thinking about the past and looking out into the future. And it has us worried about things that aren't even there. This thing that's constantly talking is your ego. That's why meditation's becoming so big. It is helping us notice that we have something in our head that is doing the thinking, and we are just the observer of the thinking. And this is very interesting because that ego is the judger of all things. It is the creator of all stories. What our ego does is it takes what happens in our reality and it distorts it and it bends it and it puts it back in our favor, painting us as either the victims of some circumstances, or maybe we're the righteous one that's not heard enough, or you know, we're not really listened to. It's really this just constant source of judgment. And if you think about it, you don't wake up in the morning and say, boom, I'm going to start thinking now. You are already being thought. There is this constant narrator that, you know, someone walks by you, doesn't say hello. Your ego then jumps in and says, I know why. It's because they are rude and they think they're so cool and that they're better than me. And now they don't even have to say hi to me. It's our ego that takes simple events and adds in all of this judgment in this story. And you can kind of hear a bit of the venting in there. And so the ego is a big piece here. Now, the thing about the ego is that it's definitely not our amigo. It is not our amigo. It's nobody's amigo. And the ego actually eats anger for lunch. It's got to stay mildly irritated at most things. And so it's constantly scanning your environment as you live your day. And it's often looking for insult where there isn't any. And this is key because to stay alive, it really has to stay mildly upset, angry, chafed at all times. And so its favorite way to stay angry is through venting, really blaming circumstances, really complaining. That's its favorite way to stay alive. What most people don't realize is venting is actually the ego's way of avoiding self-reflection. And self-reflection is the foundation of accountability, being able to account for your part in a situation. Self-reflection is the key to be able to do that. And accountability is death to the ego, is the silencer of this ego that's constantly judging and critiquing and causing a lot of chaos in our life. And what most people don't realize is the ego is a lot like a two-year-old. And in the way it works. And so if I had my cell phone here, and let's say I'm 2 years old and you wanted to get this phone for me and I'm a two-year-old, one of the worst things you can do is to grab it, is to reach for it. That would be like telling someone to stop venting, like, oh my gosh, quit being so negative. That would just be like grabbing and punching the ego right in the face. For those of you that have been around a two-year-old, there's actually a better strategy if you'd like to get this phone from them. And you guys know it. It is to offer them something cool instead, something shiny. Don't you want, you know, this pen? And what happens is a two-year-old gets into like cognitive dissonance. They get looking at both things and they cannot hold two things in their mind at once. They're like, crap, I hate when adults do this. And so they have to drop one to take the other. And what's really funny is you could actually do this again with a two-year-old and say, but don't you want the phone back? And they might have the same thing happen again, and they got to drop one to take the other. And this is actually a way that they check to make sure a two-year-old is on track with their development. Are they able to switch from one focus to the other? And so, again, our egos are similar in this way, that a human mind, a person, can't be inventing the cell phone and self-reflection at the same time, the pen. They're mutually exclusive. And so what we need to be able to do when we understand venting, both for ourselves and for those we lead, is how can we make this amazing trade where we get the two-year-old, the ego, to drop one and go to the other thing? And what happens when you ask this question, but don't you want the pen? or you ask a great coaching question is it allows the human to drop the venting and get into self-reflection, which bypasses the ego, gets into the better part of our brain, which is all about what they can do to impact, where there are places to add value, collaboration, teamwork, innovation. It all sits in that better part of our brain, but we can never get there if we are inventing. And so this magical trade is the key, and the way to do that is through great questions to drop us into self-reflection, which again is what silences the ego, which is really frustrated in those situations of venting. It really helps to think about this as if we all have a light switch, so to speak, on our heads. And when we're in ego, the switch is down. We're in our lower self. We're really blaming circumstances. We believe we're the victims of a situation. Nothing we could have done could have helped. And people didn't communicate with us. And people didn't let us know. And the situation was ridiculous. And no one should have to do all this extra work. That is really our lowest self. And that is what you hear when people are venting. And all that it is all of those judgments and stories the ego is making up being verbalized. On the other hand, all of us at the same time can flip into high self if we get into self-reflection, which is where we are most collaborative, most innovative, we can see the most possibilities. And that's when we drop into what do I know for sure? What are the facts of the situation? What would great look like given my reality? What could I be doing to help? If we can get into self-reflection and sit in that question, it actually reveals all of the natural next steps. The problem, our ego does not want to drop into self-reflection because it's what kills it. It's what drops us into accountability and seeing where we can have impact next. And so it's that much of a toggle switch that we can recognize in ourselves and flip right into with great questions which drop us into self-reflection. And so given that understanding and the importance of making that trade and how we cannot be in low self and high self at the same time, here are three of our best tools to facilitate that kind of light switch up. And these are what I want you guys to get more fluent in and be able to try so you can redirect this energy that goes into venting when someone comes to you to vent. And by the way, these are a very caring and nice way to do so. And so let's talk about the first one, which is our edit your story tool, but flipped and you become the facilitator. You become the editor of the story. And let me explain a bit. Most people don't realize that what they are venting about never even happened. The venting is our story about reality, not reality. And I want to share an example of how one of my colleagues did this for me so you guys can see how this can play out as you give it a shot. We had an event that was one of our main events. It's called Certification, and I was a big part of the marketing for it. And I thought we had everything set out and it was really well, you know, marketed with emails and it was on the website and all the dates were good, all the times were good. And we got to the day before, I think it was, of the event. And all of a sudden we get a phone call at the office and it is one of our top clients. And they're like, we're at the venue for Certification. What time's everybody getting here? We figured there'd be people here. And I immediately am like, at the event, they were there early. And so I got a little bit, you know, anxious. I got a little like, oh my God, what's going on? So I got back into my email and checked all the announcements we'd sent out. Everything looked good. I got on the website to see what's going on. Everything looked good. And I was kind of freaking out about what they were doing here so early and what did I mess up? And they had three team members there and oh my gosh, it's going to, you know, what's going on? And as I got back into my email, I saw that their invoice that went out actually had the wrong date on the invoice. And that's what they followed for when to show up to this thing. So the 12 marketing events I sent out, they actually followed the billing person's billing invoice, which had a mistake on it. And then I realized in my head, my ego's like, and he's done this before. And so all of a sudden, all within that couple milliseconds on the call, And while I had them on hold, I realized we had a situation and I got frustrated. So I said, can you guys hold a minute? I put the phone down. And I went over to my colleague and her name's Sarah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, our billing person messed up again, put the wrong date. And now we have our top client in here with three people and they're waiting around for us thinking we're disorganized. It's absolutely ridiculous. If I did my job like our billing person, I'd be fired. He's allowed to get away with murder. This is absolutely crazy. We're gonna have to pay for all their stuff. And this is absolutely ridiculous. And they're in town already. And I was venting. And what was so interesting is as I was saying all of that, my coworker was pretty skilled at just writing down the situation. She had a big piece of paper there and she was kind of writing down a few things. And I thought she was just listening. It was really nice. And as I got done, she kind of asked me, you know, is that all? You know, we got to get this figured out. And then I realized on her paper, she had about three sentences. And she said, Alex, I listened to you and it sounds like we definitely have a situation, but here's what I came up with as like kind of the facts of the situation about what we have to look at. I wanted to get clear on what's going on. And here's what I have. We have a client on the phone who's early to the event. They are wondering where we're at and we had a mistake on the billing. That was actually the only facts. And I was like, well, wait, you know, the whole other story. And what I realized she did is she had taken my whole story and anything that wasn't true or a judgment or assignments of motive, she had actually just written down the facts. And it was so funny when I was that frustrated and I was reacting and I hadn't sorted through my thinking and I was in a poor mental process and I was feeling like venting. That venting session took a while and I got into like past things that I was upset about with this person and other things about the client. And so all this negativity, she actually just wrote down the facts. And when I saw reality in front of me and it was away from my ego had no more control on it because it wasn't in my head. It is now on paper. It was like three sentences and it was pretty clear on what the reality was. We had a client in early, we had a mistake that we could apologize for, and we had three people that we had to get taken care of that night to be ready for tomorrow. And all my colleague did once I saw that reality is just looked at it with me and said, given that reality, does this look solvable to you? What could we do to help? And I looked at it and I was so surprised. I said, actually, you know, I could get back on the phone with them and I could let them know that we have some points to cover their rooms. And in fact, we have a research project we could catch up on. Maybe we could grab dinner and I could just reach out to the colleague who'd messed up the billing and just make sure they were making sure that that was right each time. I had all these simple directions and instructions that were not painful and I had so much more energy after I saw reality. And so what I realized is this is the first technique is take when someone's venting and just sit there with a piece of paper and to be caring, listen to them. You know, even if it's 30 minutes, don't do the typical just listening and colluding and saying, you're right, that's ridiculous and this is unfair. Just write down the facts you hear from what they vent about. Really be a seeker of the truth. And then at the end of it, just say, I've listened and it sounds like a tough situation. I really want to help us get to the bottom of this. I tried to write down just what we know for sure. And here's what I came up with. You know, I wasn't there. You want to take a look at this? See what I did there? What has that got you thinking? All of that is dropping that person into self-reflection. As you can see, we are making that trade. We are dropping the phone to get to the pen, to get to a better part of the brain. And what's left is reality. And guys, reality, as you know, is always kind and neutral. And there's a lot to be played with in reality and a lot of value to be added. And from there, just say, given this reality together, you know, let's think about three things we could do to add value. And when that person, like I did, comes up with a few ideas, as a leader, all you got to say is, sounds great. Let's go do that. Can I count on you to do that? And boom, we just showed what can happen when we get into a better mental process. And what's so funny about this is what we've seen over and over with clients we've worked with is as leaders start to have this cadence, when someone comes in to vent, they just keep a piece of paper and really start sorting out the facts, that by about the third or fourth time, someone who chronically comes in to vent, they're like, oh, I know what they're going to do. They're just going to write down the facts. They're going to edit my story. And then they're going to ask, given that, what could you do to add value? They just say, why don't I just skip all of that? That takes 20 minutes. I'll just do that myself in my thinking and go add value. And it becomes a mental process in that way that people bypass going to the person to vent about, and they start self-sorting that information and living that better mental process. In fact, it gets to the point where you do it enough, you felt what it's like to be in reality and not in venting and in all of that gossip and in all of that frustration, that you're just like, I know when I'm in that place, it feels bad. So I'll just get over here to the facts and where I can add value. You start to vent and you'll start to crack yourself up. Like, I mean, that's a hilarious story. Like, what the heck am I thinking? It's so not true. And so that's the first technique, is to edit people's stories and then simply finish the mental process with what's the next thing you can do to add value. Now, the next second technique is one you can do even more in the moment, that is just verbally. And it is a quick technique. When someone comes up to you to vent about someone else or to talk about someone else behind their back, try to start one with staking your claim in the ground by saying something profoundly positive about the person or the situation. So let's say that someone came up to me and said, oh my gosh, did you hear about Alex? And that's like the cue that I'm about to vent about Alex. And what I would do in that situation is, if you catch it, say, oh my God, Alex, I love that guy. I absolutely love that guy. That just put a stake in the ground that you are going to be professional and you actually love that person. So it's kind of hard to vent about someone that someone else actually loves. And so you kind of put a little boundary there. So, oh my God, I love that guy, Alex. Well, can you believe that Alex has been coming into work late every single day this week and is about to get into venting? And then what you would say is, oh my gosh, Alex has been late each day this week. He's our coworker. What should we be doing to help? And that might throw the person off, because again, it's self-reflection. Instead of letting the ego vent in that low self, I just tried to flip all of us into high self. What should we be doing to help? Well, to help. I mean, but he's been late every single, you just shouldn't be late. It's absolutely ridiculous. He should be reprimanded for this. Oh, but he's been late. There must be something going on. What could we be doing to help? Should we like get him a cup of coffee? Should we help set his computer up? You know, and then here's the next part. You saw me start getting into it. Then just jump into problem solving if they still want to keep venting. So, you know, oh, you know, we could get his computer set up. We could, I know what I could do. I could swing by his house and pick him up. I'm only live about 5 minutes out of the way. I could pick him up, knock on the door. We could get him up early. Or, you know, you could call when you wake up in the morning. We could get him up earlier, and you just get into problem solving, like how we could help. And you'll notice the ego wants us both to start judging and colluding and going at Alex. But if you can put that stake in the ground that you love Alex and you have that professional boundary there, and then you just stop judging, start helping. Say, what should we be doing to help? I'm not going to judge. Oh my gosh, what could we be doing to help? You just keep that mantra of stop judging, start helping. It just keeps dropping people into self-reflection. It doesn't let the ego get what it wants, which is all the venting. Until eventually someone's like, well, I don't want to put in any extra work to make sure he gets here. And then do the last thing, step three, and just kind of change the subject. Well, then if we're not going to help, what are you doing this weekend? Like, what do you got planned for this weekend? And what you just did is totally made a boundary, focused on stop judging, start helping, number two. And then number three, just kind of change the energy to something else about what we're looking forward to in the future. Because this is what really it's all about in leadership, and what you can remember with venting is that we don't manage people, we manage energy. And the energy from venting is going into our low selves and negativity and nothing about what we want to create in the world. And that technique right there gets us focused in on how we could help and what we're trying to create in the world, which is, in that situation, a coworker that is easily able to get to work on time. And so our second key technique is right there. And that is very caring, where you're not rudely just saying, stop venting, stop gossiping about this coworker. That's going to punch the cell phone, the ego, right in the face, right? Those were all making the trade. What should we be doing to help? What could we do to help? Or problem solving is getting into ways in which we could impact. And so that's number two there. And I hope that one's fun for you. That's good to do with even family as well, to stop the gossip around, Thanksgiving or whatever. Number three is more of a tool that we find really effective for those busy leaders that have a lot of people that say, hey, do you have a minute? And then the moment they walk in, they're like hearing all these things about what's going wrong in the business or what's not going right, and here's the issue. And then they sort through the issue themselves and process it and then spit that info back to the person that brought up the issue. And then that person runs off to take that information. And it's this very inefficient way for people to be thinking. So if people come to you a lot frustrated or stuck or venting about an issue, and they say, hey, do you have a minute? And they want to tell you the whole issue. One thing we recommend is to say, yes, I do have a minute, but do you have an S-bar? And an S-bar is one of our most powerful tools for getting people thinking through a process more efficiently. It's a good mental process. And it's S-bar, S-B-A-R. And so how this works is it starts with S, and that's where someone, before they come to you, you have them do this tool, and it's where they write down S, the present situation, one sentence or less. Now, it's hard to get into a lot of drama when you have to state what the situation is in one sentence, because it's basically just the reality, the facts. And so get them down to one sentence. Then comes the B, which is the background. Now, this is relevant background to the situation. You know, why is this being brought up? How's this aligned to our strategic plan? How's this aligned to what we're trying to solve in our workplace? Now, we don't work for the History Channel, we often joke. We don't need what happened in 1979, and we just need the relevant background. Now, once we get by the relevant background, there's an A in there, which is your analysis. And this is where we ask, what best practice have you looked at? What research have you done? What experts have you reached out to how they would solve it? What people have you crowdsourced to get ideas? What analysis of the issues in comparison to our strategic plan have you looked at? And then lastly, the R, are what are your recommendations? Plural. That's not your number one recommendation that I know the way and this is the only way to move forward, because guess what that is? That's our ego choosing our preference over all of the potential options out there. So we want recommendations. We want people showing their mental flexibility that if we throw out five recommendations, I am skilled enough to go either way. And with those recommendations, here are the risks I see, and I'm happy to mitigate those risks. And so what ends up happening is that all those times people say, hey, do you have a minute? They now come to you and they have their situation concise and very, very tangible and researched. And lastly, they have a few recommendations on how to move forward. And so they're coming really empowered to know that you're going to choose one of their recommendations and they can set off with it. But it is a more fact-based analysis of what's going on. And it's not all the venting and the story that the ego wants to add in there. And so that is the third tool. And that one can really make things more efficient and turn things around for you with your colleagues and with those you interact with. The last piece I don't think I got to, but the lady asked in this session, the last piece I didn't get to, but the attendee asked in the session that I've given it some more thought, and it was, you know, how, if I start doing this as a leader, can I make sure they don't think I'm always taking the side of the people that are making the tough situation or that they're frustrated about? And my answer here is that reality is the side you take. The truth is the side you seek. And so then you're not taking any sides, you're taking the neutral side of reality. And that is your friend, and that's actually everyone's friend if the ego lets them embrace it. Reality is the best teacher, it's the best motivator, it's where we are able to find the next best step to add value. And so you as a leader are just facilitating this touch with reality. And so when someone's venting, they are not in touch with reality. The ego is distorting their view of reality. So these three tools help kind of reveal what's the true reality of the situation. And so if they're getting upset at you for revealing reality and then blaming you that you're taking the side of the other, that's where you can take that feedback and think about it, but make sure you're using these tools to help reveal reality, and that's who they're actually mad at, is they're in an argument with reality. And so the last thing I would say is you won't ever be taking anyone's side in this situation. You're on everyone's side. They're all your coworkers. You are just on the side of the truth. You just got to be a real seeker of the truth. And these three tools, flipping the edit your story and writing down the facts for people, is one way to reveal reality. Number two is when you state a positive thing about a person and then you focus on stop judging, start helping. Again, you're not getting into the judgment of the ego that distorts reality. You're getting into helping, which impacts reality. Helpfulness always impacts reality. And the last thing is the S-bar helps, again, reveal reality and recommendations to succeed in that reality. And so the last thing I would say about that is you won't be taking the side as long as you have this foundation of tools, and they always help you anchor in the truth. And so I hope that's really helpful for you guys. And it was a tough one to think through, but I think that's the best I can give for those three techniques. And I really, really encourage you to give these a shot and see how life changes with less venting. It can really just separate things out, because drama has no place then to fall into. It only lands in the same person that allows it. So you become someone that doesn't enable it, and you teach people how to think in a better mental process. So it's a win-win. Because lastly, if you're like, why stop venting? That's actually my favorite part of like the end of the week, like happy hour with the boys or the girls, just venting about all of the craziness that went on at work. And our founder actually told us about this amazing story and this experience she had. And I think I want to leave you with this, because most people don't know what a life is like without venting, without judgment, without all of this time spent in venting. And the last activity I leave you with is go to a dinner with some friends sometime soon and make sure that everyone put it out there that I want to have this time together with no judgment. Now, keep in mind that judgment can't be positive or negative, and just watch what happens. It's super profound. We heard about this example from our founder where she had this assignment, and what ends up happening is you sit around the table and someone might say something like, oh my gosh, it's just a beautiful night tonight. Look at all the stars in the sky. And someone jumped in and said, oh, wait a minute, beautiful, that's a, you know, judgment. The facts would be there's 2.3 trillion stars in the galaxy. And then someone bit into the chicken and they're like, oh, this chicken is really good. And again, that was a judgment. It was a positive judgment. And then I think someone walked by, she said, that had a bad outfit on, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, who would wear that outfit? Or someone's got to tell her. And there's more judgment. And they just started noticing how much they were judging, both positive and negative. And it was leading to a lot of small talk. And then eventually the table got quiet. There was nothing to be said without any judgment and venting and critiquing and all of this stuff. And so people are like, what the heck could we talk about? And then out of nowhere, someone goes, I know what we could talk about. I have a kid that's going to college, and I'm going to have an open room, and I'd love to turn it into an exercise room so I could do my workouts at home. And once that was said, again, there's no judgment, so people couldn't be like, that's a dumb idea, or that's going to be expensive. All that actually happened was people go, oh my gosh, I know someone that actually does this, and I know a trainer that could come and train you there, and I actually have some extra equipment I'm not using. And so they just got into brainstorming how they could make it happen instead of complaining and venting about what's wrong with the world. It was, that's what you want to create? Well, all these ideas jumped in on how to get there. And then someone else said that I want to get involved with a nonprofit that gets water to people that are deprived of it. And he shared an amazing story about how he was stranded and knows what it's like to not have water. And then someone jumped in and said, well, I know someone at the Bill Gates Foundation, and I can get you involved in some of that fundraising. And people just had all of these ideas. And next thing you know, in about 10 minutes, three people had thrown out ideas of what they wanted to create in the world. And everyone had jumped in and crowdsourced and was innovating and coming up with all these ideas that got them on their way to doing that. And that was in about 10 minutes. And what they realized in that moment is once the judgment and the venting and all of that is gone, all that's left to talk about is what you want to create in the world and how to get there. And they were shocked at how much in all of their opportunities it goes into kind of this small talk, this low self talking about the world or what's wrong. And if we can limit the venting and all the judgment and critiquing, that is what's possible. All this innovation. It's how human beings naturally interact once the drama's gone, is creativity, all of this stuff. And so that's my real challenge for you, is to try that activity with some friends and see what you guys get brainstorming and creating in the world. And I encourage you to try out our three techniques to limit venting, but in a nice way and in a way that keeps you on everyone's side as your colleagues, but a reference point of reality, which is the number one place we want you starting. So guys, thank you so much for jumping into this episode. I hope it was something interesting and gave you guys a couple unlocks to just free up some more time in your day to just get outside of this venting, this small talk, this real negative space, this low self stuff. Even if you could cut out 15 to 30 minutes of venting each and every day, that adds up over the course of the year. And so that's what we're talking about when carving out this drama. So let's work on venting. I'm doing it myself, always a challenge. So thank you guys so much. Alex M. Dore on all social media places. If you want to reach out to me, share this with anyone that you'd love to introduce to our stuff. Share this with maybe a venter that you're trying to switch the energy with. Don't pick your toughest candidate. And I'll see you guys next episode, probably next week. And as always, you guys know the deal. Let's keep ditching the drama.